instruction, which you will find on the inside top of your paper. Before we actually get involved in the worship service and some of the announcements, I hate to disturb you, but would you please get up and speak to your neighbors? Let us pass the peace. Better to get up now than to get too comfortable and then not be able to move. All right, if you would please resume your seats. I'd like to call your attention to a couple of things that are in the bulletin or that are in the newsletter. First of all, there will not be a newsletter this next week. So the birthdays and things were listed before in the one we got this past week, but there won't be a new one this week. You know, everybody has to take a vacation every now and then, so we won't have a newsletter this week. But I want to call your attention to the farmer's market. The fresh veggies that are available on the tables outside the fellowship hall, when you purchase those vegetables, the proceeds are used for our church food pantry. And if you just want to give us some money for the food pantry, you don't have to buy vegetables, although they're good for you. Do keep the food pantry in mind. The mission committee is very concerned because more and more people are needing assistance, and we are running out. So if you would please make contributions to the food pantry, they would greatly appreciate it. I would also like to call your attention to a couple of other announcements that are in the bulletin. If you will turn over on the back, you will notice that the Bible studies are still available, and you can join them at any time. You didn't have to be right there when they got started. And Family Fun Night, as well as the Afternoon at the Movies. Those are two events that the church will be celebrating that we want to call to your attention so that you can participate in them as well. And finally, we need teachers for our youngsters in the summer school Sunday school program. If you have patience with children, if you like children, if you're willing to give a helping hand one or two Sundays for the remainder of the summer, we can certainly use your help. Please get in touch with Allison Perrin or with Kathy Kelly. Now, let us continue and put our minds and hearts in the worship of God as the light of Christ enters with the acolytes. Thank you.
Thank you. those who are able, please stand and join me in the call to worship. Brothers and sisters, have you loved your neighbor? Have you stopped by the road and bandaged the wounded, or have you passed by on the other side? Sisters and brothers, have you loved your God? Have you carried the afflicted to a place of rest, or have you turned your back and hurried on? Come to God that you might learn to show mercy. Come to God that you might receive mercy.
Let us pray together the invocation as printed in your bulletin. O Christ, who broke down the wall between worship in the sanctuary and duty in the marketplace, we come before you today with a guilty conscience. We wish we could plead innocence of the charge of seeking to raise this wall anew. But we know, even as you know, our Lord, are bent to judge unjustly, denying justice to the weak and showing partiality to the wicked. We ask for your forgiveness, and after that, for the transformation alike of our understanding and our will. Search us and try us, O God, that confronted by the challenge of the Samaritan, we might heed your words to go and do likewise. You may be seated. We have a new person within the congregation. Her name is Linda Martin. So I would invite her to come down front. And I invite you to turn with me to page 38 in your hymnal. Ms. Martin, is there anything that particularly attracts you to this church?
Our preacher was pretty good.
It was a preacher, she said. So. Or she heard it was a preacher. As a member of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service, if you will, say,
I will.
Members of the household of God, I commend this person to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you. And we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministry of the church. Our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and everything be glorified in Jesus Christ.
I hope the preacher meets all your expectations. Make her welcome, would you?
The epistle reading today is taken from the first chapter of Paul's letter to the Colossians, verse 1 through 14. This is found on page 243 in the New Testament section of the Pew Bibles. In this passage, Paul encourages the Colossians to remain strong in their Christian faith and in the face of false teachings. Listen now for God's word to us. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You have heard of this hope before in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. Just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. This you learned from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from His glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. Where there is injury, your pardon, Lord. And where there's doubt, true faith in you. O Master, grant that I may never see much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul. Make me a channel of your peace. There's despair in life, let me bring hope. Where there is darkness, only light. And where there's sadness, ever joy. O Master, grant that I may never see so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul. Make me a channel of your peace. Is in pardoning that we are pardoned, in giving of ourselves that we receive, and in dying that we're born to eternal life. O Master, grant that I may never see so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul. Make me a channel of your peace. There is hatred, let me bring your love. Where there is injury, your pardon, Lord. And where there's doubt, true faith in you.
Let us pray. Holy God, as we have heard your servants sing, calling us to a life of commitment, a life of vision as we look to the needs of others. And we pray, Almighty God, that as we worship here this day, that indeed your Holy Spirit would strengthen us, that your presence would cause us to have a deeper hunger to be more like you. That our time together with our fellow brothers and sisters would cause us to have
a growing love. A love for them and a love for you. A love for those outside the walls of this sanctuary. That we would have a burning desire to be in relationship and to care for those who do not know you. Help us, Almighty God, to look upon the fields that are white to harvest and pray, dear Lord, send me, use me as you would will. And we pray for the needs of our congregation, for those that we know that are near and dear to us, and for those that we do not know. Praying, Almighty God, that you would intercede on their behalf and that they would sense your presence and our love, that they would know this day that there is someone that is praying for them, that they are not forgotten. We pray for our troops who at this very moment could be in harm's way. Be with them. Our leaders of our great land and the bishops that lead the church, we pray as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us worship the Lord now with our morning tithes and offerings. Ushers, would you come, please? Dear God, we dedicate these gifts to your mission, to your ministry in the world. Bless those faithful givers and those who had not this day to give and those who chose not. Let all we do here be to the glory of God. In whose name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
us make our affirmation of faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Hear now the reading of God's Word as is found in the Gospel according to Luke. Begin reading with the 25th verse of the 10th chapter. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, and having poured oil and wine on them, then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him. When I come back, I'll repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Young man comes home from hospital with his wife and new baby. And the baby has a dirty diaper. And the wife says, "Honey, you change the diaper." He said, "Well, you change this one and I'll change the next one." She said, "Okay." So she changed the diaper, and a little while later, the baby had another dirty diaper. And she said, "Honey, it's time for you to change the diaper." He said, "Oh, you meant this baby. I was talking about the next baby that we have that I..." Sometimes we do like to push off those things that are not fun to the next time, or push it down the road a little further. As I read this passage of the Good Samaritan, I think about all the opportunities in life that I have had to do good and didn't do it. I think about those times that I had an opportunity to do well and took the advantage of them. I think of those individuals sometimes on the interstate that are broken down, and I realize that we shouldn't always be stopping on the interstate. Creates dual dangers. One, you don't know who the person is, and two, you could get injured out there with all those vehicles traveling so fast. And so most of the time I'll pick up the phone and I'll dial *78, I believe it is, and I'll report it to the Highway Patrol that there's a motorist in distress. But there have been those other times when I, because of the circumstance and situation, I would stop and I would say, I'm a United Methodist minister. I want to help you. I will not hurt you. And I was traveling in Spartanburg one day, and Ron Towery, who is now one of our local preachers in the upper part of Spartanburg district, it was a hot Saturday, about like the weather we've been having lately. Ron and I had just played a round of golf, and we were coming down I-85 when there was a bus. It had obviously broken down. There were children and senior folks and middle-aged folks all there on the side of the road. And I looked at Ron. We were in Ron's truck. And I said, Ron, my God won't let me pass these people on the side of the road like this. I said, would you please pull over and let's see what we can do. Now, you can imagine it was a small truck and it was a great big bus. And there were a lot of people, so there wasn't a whole lot we could do in that little small truck. And so I walked over to the gentleman who was working on the bus, and I said to him, I'm a United Methodist minister. You know what I just told you. What's wrong? Now, I'm somewhat of a shade tree mechanic. More somewhat as the cars get newer, if you understand the gap that has taken place between those of us who used to, as young boys, work under the shade tree on automobiles and things of that nature. And so I asked him, did he know what was wrong with his bus? He said, yeah, I think the pilot shaft is broken. Well, I'm thinking, now I don't know what a pilot shaft is. But then I come to the conclusion that he was talking about a crankshaft, what I refer to as a crankshaft. I asked him, I said, what is your plan? We have another bus on our way. Where's it coming from? Commerce, Georgia. This is Spartanburg. So I said to him, I have a church not too far down the road. I know that the air conditioner is on because it's Saturday and the custodians clean on Saturday. Not only that, we had just had Bible school. And I knew that they had these big jars of animal crackers left over. And popcorn and pretzels and popsicles and all the things that you have left over from Bible school. And I told him, I said, do we have a way we can transport these people? And so he had a van that had just pulled up. And so we loaded a few of the folks in the back of the truck and we started down Highway 29 headed towards StarTex United Methodist Church. These folks were not the same race as most of the people in my church. I was new at this church. This was the church that I had joined the United Methodist Church through, and they were happy that I was there, and I didn't want to wear out my welcome. I was confronted with my desire to be liked and to do what I needed to do. I was scared. I could hear these people saying, preacher's been here 2 weeks and he's bussing them in already. I'd been invited that evening to go with a Sunday school class to eat fish up in North Carolina, and I was looking forward to the trip. I do like fried fish. I knew that in the time that we were transferring them, that my time to meet the Sunday school class, the deadline would arrive. So I had a good reason while they were transporting these people to excuse myself. And that's what I did. Y'all, I need to leave. I need to catch up with the Sunday school class, but I'll see y'all when I get back. With a knot in my stomach as big as my fist. The fish place we went to was back up and behind Lake Junaluska. It was a long drive from Spartanburg. And all the way up there, I was thinking, dear Lord, what are these people going to say when I get back? And sure enough, when I arrived home, the answering machine was blinking. I played it and it went something like this. Pastor, we know that you have been off feeding your physical self. But while you've been gone, we want you to know that we've been feasting on manna from heaven. That group that you stopped and helped was a choir. And when they got to our church, their preacher was also on the bus, and he got to preaching. Of all the people going up and down this road, who would have ever thought that it would have been a white preacher that would have stopped and picked us up and brought us here, and he got to preaching, and they got to singing, and they had a mini revival there in the social hall at StarTex United Methodist Church. A few months later, we received a letter from this choir. They wanted to come back and do a thank you concert. Do you know, I contacted all the radio stations, all the television stations in that area, all the newspapers, and no one showed up to report this wonderful story of somebody being a good Samaritan and dealing with all the issues that was confronting our society and racism and other things. There in that short period of time, there was a bond that developed between this Baptist church in Commerce, Georgia, and this Methodist church in StarTex, South Carolina. As I think about this passage of Scripture that relates to the Good Samaritan, I realize that the only way that we will have stories to tell is if we dare to take a risk. The only way that we have stories to tell as a church is if we choose to get our hands dirty in ministry. This Samaritan, or this lawyer that came to Jesus, he came to him and he was basically asking, what do I need to do to get to have eternal life? And what does that mean to me? What's it going to cost me? What do I have to do? You heard in the children's sermon that he gave a good answer. And I think of those times in life that I have been with those individuals that have asked, "Pastor, is there a way that you can know that you have eternal life?" I usually talk with them. I said, "Well, let's look at that for a moment. Tell me about your affirmation of faith. Tell me about those times that you have come to the altar and knelt and taken communion. Tell me about the time that you joined the church in your faith." I remember one time such as this when I was talking with an elderly gentleman and he was very ill, and he looked at me and I said, "Is there anything that you would like to do to make sure that you're at peace with God?" He said, "Yes, Pastor. I need to talk to my wife." Now, this man had to be 78 years old. I said, "Talk with your wife." He said, "Yeah." He said, "I need to talk with her. There's some things before I die I need to make right." I said, "Okay. When do you want to do that?" He said, "Right now." And I called his wife in from the kitchen area and invited her to come in, and we sat down and he began to talk about the things in life that he had been involved in that he needed to ask her forgiveness. And as I left that house that day, she had tears in her eyes and she looked at me and she said, "Pastor, I knew that he needed to purge his soul before he met his maker. And I'm glad that he did it today." The lawyer asked a good question and he gave a good answer. "What must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Let me tell you a story about what it means to be a neighbor." And this passage of Scripture touches me in some very special ways. And one of them is this story that I told you about stopping on the side of the road and helping this choir. But another time was on a Thanksgiving service, the community Thanksgiving service. We had a group of ministers that meet together, and one of them happened not to be a minister. One of them happened to be a rabbi. Thanksgiving is applicable to Judaism, Americanism. We had a service. I invited him. Not only did I invited him to speak. And he stood in my pulpit and I asked him, "Are there anything in my pulpit that I need to remove that's offensive to you?" And he said, "No. This is your pulpit. This is your church. I'm the guest. Leave it as you normally would." And he preached from the New Testament, and he read this passage, and he asked us the question, "Who is my neighbor?" When I read this passage again, and I think about it in light of being the church, and the responsibility that it calls for me to have my hands invested and your hands to be invested in ministry, I think that there's one step farther, calling for us not to just give food and clothes and bandage to Haiti and all those other things that we do, but also to invest in relationship. This passage of Scripture doesn't necessarily deal with relationship, with the exception that the Samaritan said, if there's any charges, I'll come back and pay them. This past week, a young couple came to the church amongst many that came, not of this fold, looking for food, looking for assistance. And I said, Emmy, find out if they have a church home. Find out if they have a pastor. Find out if there's someone that I can call and talk to about them. And if they say no, you be sure and let them know that they're welcome here at Main Street. You be sure and let them know that we have a home here for them and that we will love them and care for them and nurture them. For you see, the ones that had an excuse in this passage that we've read this morning were mainly those that had a religious bias. A religious bias not to help someone in need. Story was told about a pilot in World War II. He dropped his ordnance as he was flying over a German town called Kelve, K-L-E-V-E. As he was dropping his bombs, he realized that one of them he thought hit a church. War came to a close. He went home to England, married his high school sweetheart, and pushed all these war memories back. Until one day he saw that a church was being rebuilt in Germany, and he went back and pulled up his old logs, and lo and behold, it was that same church. He wrote the mayor of this German town. He said, I would like to offer my apology for blowing up the church. The mayor wrote him back and invited him to come back to the dedication for this church. And as he wrestled with what he had done and for the individuals that he had killed, and maybe for the family connections that had been destroyed, he decided it might be best that I not go back. They said that a letter came to his house, and there were 500 signatures of German people telling him, we forgive you for what you've done. And therein began the healing that needs to take place many times in our lives. May God bless us. May God guide us. May we have dirty hands in ministry, and may we forgive. Forgive those who have hurt us, those that have inflicted pain upon us, and let us be the example of Jesus Christ right here, right now, in this town, today. Amen. Our closing hymn, number 402, I Want to Be a Christian. receive now the benediction. Blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit abide with you and keep you both now and evermore. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit we pray. Amen.